Morning again. Man, we need more coffee in this house. Good morning, church family. Hey, again, hey, I just want to let you guys know if you do have kids and they get a little fussy, don't worry, it's okay. I can talk a little bit louder. But I do need you to know that we do actually have a nursery. If you go back this way and you go through that door and on your right-hand side, there's cartoons going on in there. There's toys. They can play with the toys. I know we don't do a very good job of communicating that. I got to tell you, in the past 6 months, our kids' ministry probably went from, 5 to 10 to 30. And so we got new people coming in. It's a little shy today because I know it's like the beginning and the kids are off school and everybody wants to take vacation. I want to take a vacation. And so I know Crystal and some of the kids are at the youth ministry. I'm so excited for them. I'm praying. Let me pray again for them. Father, I pray revival in their hearts that when they come back, that they will be like, Pastor Jerry, I want to be a pastor. And Father, we get to disciple them as a church and grow them to be the men and women you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. But you know what I believe? As adults, we need to let that revival start inside of us before it can pour out of us into our kids. It's got to start right here. We'll talk more about that Father's Day weekend in 2 weeks. We had a really great Mother's Day service about legacy. We're going to kind of bring that full circle around with the dads in the house and the men of the house. But here we are, James. You're going to love the title, Patience in the Process. If you need to get up and walk out now because patience is a bad word, I understand. I get it. But we're coming to the end. 13 weeks we've been going through James, verse by verse. We've got one more week left, and it's going to be, at the end of it, Paul gives us this prayer, and I'm going to unpack everything that we've talked about from beginning until now, and how James has been like just taking us down this road, this winding road of what faith looks like, because ultimately this whole book is about faith. It's ultimately about being faithful in season and out of season, and how we use our words and how we react to other people and how we love other people. What do we do with our blessings that God gives us? You all back from last week, because last week I think was probably one of the hardest messages that we have had to go through. Today, not going to be that bad. I promise you now. You can still say bring it though. There we go. Hey, one more thing. If you're new with us this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. We have a really cool way of welcoming our guests. Can you do that with me on three? One, two, three.
Welcome home.
Come as you are is what we say now. So let me set the stage here. Imagine, I want you to imagine for a second that you plant a seed in your backyard, a seed, right? You water it, you're excited, and you go out there on day number two, you're still watering it, and you're still hopeful, and on day three, nothing. Day seven, still nothing. 2 weeks later, you're starting to say, man, I think Home Depot ripped me off on these seeds. But here's the crazy thing. While you're up there getting frustrated, you're staring at the dirt, something incredible is happening underneath the dirt while you're being very impatient about something. Something really cool is going on. There's roots forming, roots. Life is stirring in the dirt. The process is actually working exactly the way it's supposed to work. Church, I think we have forgotten how to wait. We've lived In a world of instant everything, instant coffee, instant messenger, instant results, you can even order food from house and have it delivered to your door in minutes. We can stream any movie we want in seconds. We have been conditioned to believe that waiting equals something wrong. Let me say that again. We have been conditioned to believe that waiting equals something wrong. God, why aren't you answering? God, can you hear me? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. But what if I told you that God operates on a completely different timeline than your timeline? What if the very thing that frustrates us the most, the waiting, the process, the silence that we have when we pray and we don't get the answer, what if that's exactly where God is doing his deepest work in you? In the waiting. If you got your Bibles, turn to James 5, 7. Chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. You'll notice we're getting close. There's a little bit left. Maybe I'll go into Ephesians next. We need a little encouraging, right? I love Ephesians. That's just like we get the armor of God in there. We get all that good stuff. But anyway, let's stay on track. Okay. I'm already getting excited. Woo! I'm excited. I love James, but man, James has been beating me up. I know he's beating you up, but he's really beating me up. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to produce its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Father in heaven, speak life into us today. Give us a new perspective on this wonderful word of patience and understanding in seasons, and know that you have all these things figured out and we don't need to do your job. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've talked about it this whole time. James has been talking to believers who are suffering. They're being oppressed. They're watching injustice happen right in front of them. They're asking the same questions we ask. God, how long? When are you going to show up? When are you going to fix my problems? Right? Talking to the same people, right? Right, people? I always got to make sure I'm talking to the right people. I say it all the time. And James gives them this answer. What does he say at the beginning? Be patient. That's a bad word. It's not a good word. You know, farmers know about two critical seasons in Israel. The autumn rains in October and November, okay? And you can't plant here. So missing the autumn rain in October, November means you can't plant because they had to break up the soil and everything. They missed the spring rains, April and March, and your crops won't mature. There was no irrigation system, no backup plan, and they had to wait for the rain. So one season they had to till it up because it rained and it made the ground soft, and they were able to work the ground. And the other season it rained again, then they were able to, you know, just like our normal seasons here, right? You know, you got seasons where we till it up. And that's where exactly where some of you are today. You're waiting for the rain to come produce something in you that you've been praying for and waiting for. You're waiting for your rainy season. You're waiting for a breakthrough in your life. You're waiting for a miracle. And the enemy has been whispering in your ear, God doesn't hear you no more. He's not going to answer you. You hear that, like, just give up. God forgot about you. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the rain is going to come. Your season is shifting. Your harvest is closer than you might think if you stay faithful, because He is faithful. So let's jump in, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land and produces a valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Now, some of you think patience is sitting on your couch eating Cheetos, waiting for God to drop a blessing through the ceiling right into your lap. But guess what? That's not patience. That's patience. That's not patience. That's laziness with prayer. Laziness with prayer. God, I'm going to sit on my couch. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to eat food. I'm going to watch TV. And I'm waiting for you to bless my bank account as I sit here and do nothing. James uses this example of a farmer. Why? Because the farmer doesn't freak out, go yelling and kicking at the dirt when he doesn't see the plants. No. He's not upset because he doesn't see the crop right away. But what is he doing while he's waiting for the crop? He doesn't plant and then go take a 6-month nap. No, the farmer is actively waiting. He's actively waiting. He's watering. He's weeding. He's protecting the crop. He's working while he's waiting. He's being patient while he's waiting and working. Actively. Farming is so much in the Bible. It talks about the farmer and the seeds. Why? Because farming is an act of faith. You put the seed in the ground, what looks like it was dead, cover it with dirt, and then believe something beautiful is going to come out of that. Believe something beautiful is going to come out of that. Some of you might even feel buried right now, but you're not buried. You're planted. There's a difference between being buried and being planted. When you're buried, you're done. You're done. But when you're planted, you're about to grow. And notice this in that verse. It says the farmer waits for a type of crop. There's actually a certain type of crop he's waiting for. He doesn't endure the process for something cheap. The farmer waits for the land to produce what? A valuable crop. What are you waiting on God for right now? That job, that relationship, that healing, that breakthrough? I want to tell you something. While you're waiting, you need to be working. God isn't going to do for you what you can do for yourself. God is in the supernatural. He's in the miracle business. He's not in your comfort. He wants to grow something out of you. I want to tell you something. While you're waiting, you need to be working. You need to be preparing. You need to be growing. Here's what I've learned. God is developing something in you that you're going to need for the thing that you've been praying for. He's doing something in you to prepare you for the thing that He has for you when He's ready to give it to you. God's delays are not God's denials. They're God's development plan. Verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord is coming near. Stand firm. That means strengthen your heart. Make it stable. Don't let your emotions dictate your faith. Don't let your feelings determine your future. Don't let your feelings tell you what you think is truth. I don't know about you, but I'm wrong a lot of times. Don't let your feelings determine your future. Because when I'm really sad, I don't want to do nothing. Pity me. I don't trust my feelings. And James says, the Lord's coming near. That word near means he's approaching. He's not far off. He's approaching. He's right there. Now some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Jeremy. James wrote this 2,000 years ago. How is that near? Well, you have to dive into the big old concordance books and start figuring out what it means. And here's what I've kind of come up with. James isn't talking about a chronological line here. I think that he's talking about spiritual proximity. When you realize how close God is to your situation, it changes your perspective on the situation. When you're going through something difficult, it feels like Jesus is a million miles away, doesn't it? But James is saying, no. He's right here. He's near. The Lord is coming near. He's coming near to your situation. He's coming near to your stronghold, your struggle. He's right here. Verse 9, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge stands at the door. Okay, well, this is good right here. I like this one because I'm guilty of this. Pastor pleading guilty right here. When life gets hard, who do we take it out on? When you want to yell at your boss and know that you can't yell at your boss, who do you yell at? Probably your spouse or your kids. When you can't control the circumstances around you, you try to control your kids. James is saying, stop grumbling. Stop. Because get this, the word grumble is the same word that they use, that was used as the Israelites complained in the wilderness. It's the same thing, they grumbled. And what happened to them? They had to live in the wilderness for 40 years. Because of their grumbling. Your grumbling could be extending your wilderness experience. Your grumbling could be postponing the promised land. But here's the hope. The judge stands at the door. Jesus is not far away. He's standing right there. In Revelations 3:20, it says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And they with me. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. I think it's funny because we think that we control all these things and we want God to bless us and do all these awesome miracles in our lives. And Jesus is saying, I stand at the door and I knock. Just open the door and let me come in and take control. But we want to play God and think we can control every situation. And we know how to do God's job better than he does. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience. Word. In the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. James gives us two examples here. He gives us the prophets and Job. Did you know that Job might be the oldest book in the Bible? Did you know that? Because you guys are so smart. I don't need to explain it now. Okay, well, let's move on. Fine. Maybe we'll do that someday. I find Job's book just fascinating. There's so many things in there. But anyway, because we're all Job. We're all Job. Should read it. So he gives us two examples, prophets and Job. The prophets suffer for speaking God's word to different generations, to different people. And guess what? They were punished for it. Isaiah was sawed in half. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit. Jesus hung on a cross. But they never stopped believing, though. And Job, here we got Job. He lost his wealth. He lost his health, his family. His friends turned into critics. His wife told him, just curse God and die. Even his whole body turned against him with boils from head to toe. But here's what Job didn't lose. He didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his faith. And he didn't lose his God. Now listen carefully, because James doesn't say that Job was patient. He used the word persevered. I shared this idea all the way back at the very beginning of, I want to say it was probably in James 1, the first week we did James. I used this really cool word. It was called hupomene. I actually had Nick come up here and I was trying to push him down on the ground. This perseverance is an idea that Job persevered under the pressure. When pressure came pushing down on him, he wrestled with God. He questioned. He demanded answers. He remained under the pressure. He didn't grumble and he didn't flee. He stayed right there because he knew that God was going to do something if he stayed faithful under the pressure of God. A wonderful word called hupomene means remain under the pressure. In the middle of Job's mess, he says chapter 13, verse 15, he says, though he slay me, yet I hope in him. He never let go of his faith during this time. If you haven't read the story, you got to read the story, man. He went through a lot of stuff. And we complain about some really small things. And then James says, the Lord finally brought about. That word finally that James uses in that text, it means in the end. At the conclusion, and when it was all said and done, when it was all said and done, it finally brought about. See, we often start judging God's faithfulness in the middle of our struggle, in the middle of our story. But God writes the end of your story also. We start complaining in the middle, but we don't want to give him praise until the end. We should be giving him praise from the beginning to the end. Because we forget that he writes the whole story. He doesn't stop in the middle. We often start judging God's faithfulness in the middle of our story, but God writes the end of the story too. And at the end of Job's story, look what happens in Job 42, lots of chapters later. Job 42:12. The Lord blessed the later parts of Job's life more than the former. Job was already blessed before all this stuff happened. Your later is going to be greater than your former. Your best days are yet to come. And why can we trust this? Because the scripture says the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. God's heart breaks for your pain and what you go through. He's not distant. He's moved by your situation and what you're going through. Verse 12, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Now, he's not talking about bad language here. Now, some of you might need to, you know, fix your vocabulary a little bit. He's talking about making promises that you can't keep. When you are desperate for that breakthrough. I need to paint this picture because we all do this at some point or another. A wife whose husband keeps relapsing. And the wife says, I swear on our children, if you use again, I'm done. But when he comes home 3 weeks later, she's still there, making the same empty threats. Her words lose all power because she's sworn by things that she cannot control. Instead, here's what should be said. Instead, you should simply say, I will not live with active addiction in my house any longer. Then follow through with one clear boundary at a time. No money, no car keys, no enabling, simple, direct, truthful. Maybe it's a workaholic parent that misses another recital, a game, bedtime story, then swears to the child, I promise to God, work won't come first anymore. But they've already missed the moment. Their phone still buzzes during dinner time, work-related stuff. And their promise can't bring back the dance or the game that their kid put so much work into to try to make their parent proud. I know that. Instead, you should say, I've been putting work before you, and that's wrong. I'm going to be at your next game. Then you show up, you turn off your phone, you sit in those bleachers, and you cheer like your future depends on it, because guess what, parents? Their future depends on their parent being in that bleacher and cheering them on. Let your presence speak louder than your promises. The man who's trapped in addiction swears to his family, I call as heaven is my witness. I'll never touch another drink. But he's trying to bind heaven to his timeline instead of surrendering to God. 3 days later, he's drowning his shame in the very battle that he swore against. Been there. Pre-Jesus, I can't tell you how many promises I gave my wife saying I was going to stop doing something. She knew better. Why? We're going to get to that. Instead, you should say, here's what needs to happen. You should say, I'm not going to promise I'm done drinking, da da da. No, I'm going to go to treatment today. I'm going to go to a meeting tonight. I'm going to ask for help one day at a time, one moment at a time, one meeting at a time, one phone call at a time. No declarations, just simple obedience. Do what you say you're going to do. The couple whose marriage has been hanging on by a thread declares, God, if you fix my marriage, I promise I'll change. But hear me, character isn't built on a dramatic promise. It's forged in forgiveness, self-reflection, and honest moments. Transformation doesn't happen because you said, I promise. It happens when you choose the narrow path day after day. What if instead you said, you know what? I'm messed up too. I've sat in lots of meetings. That person, that person, that person. Sometimes you need to get over yourself and be like, I'm not perfect either. I mess up too. We're both broken. We both have a lot of growing to do. Let's find a counselor. Let's fight for this relationship with everything that we've got. Then follow through. Show up to every session. Hear them without getting defensive. Own your own mistakes without making excuses. Put in the effort not to change them, but to allow God to transform you. Here's what James is teaching us. While you're waiting for your breakthrough, stop swearing on things of heaven and earth. Why? Because you're saying that your word is not enough. You have to tag something else to your word to make it sound truthful. All you're doing is saying that your word's not enough. Your breakthrough isn't going to come from the size of your promises. It's going to come from your obedience, your consistency, and your integrity. Church, I need you to hear me right now. You might have walked in here today like it's been a really long winter. But James is reminding us of something. The same God who restored Job times two, the same God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, the same God who brought Jesus out of the grave is the same God who's working on your behalf right now. Sometimes, again, you have to get over yourself and say, you know what, God is doing something. I can't see it, I don't hear it, I don't understand it, but I'm trusting that He is. I need you to understand that while you're waiting for God, God has been working on you. You don't see, He's working on you while you're waiting. He's been developing your character. He's been strengthening your faith. He's been preparing you for a blessing so big that the old you doesn't know what to do with it. Do I need to say that again? He is preparing you for a blessing that's so big the old you can't handle it. Be patient. Let Him grow you. Let Him work on you. Some of you have been praying for a breakthrough, but God has been working on a breakthrough inside of you that's been holding you back. He's working in you because you're holding yourself back from what God wants you to do, the blessing that He has for you. Your patience isn't weakness. It's war. Your perseverance isn't passive. It's power. Your integrity isn't insignificant. It's instrumental to your breakthrough. We need to change our perspective and stop saying, oh, pity me, and say, look how big my God is. He is in control of this. I'm way off topic here. Okay, get back on track. Maybe you're here today and you've never even given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to handle your life on your own strength, your own timing, and you feel tired. You're tired of running this rat race and spinning all these plates, and you can't figure out what to do next. You might feel weary. I can tell you, surrender is not an ugly thing. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You don't have to wait till your life is all put back together. Good luck with that. If you figure that one out, let me know. Please. You could become rich with that plan. You don't have to wait until you stop struggling. You don't have to wait until you're perfect, because guess what? That doesn't happen. There's only one perfect. Jesus wants you right now, and He's saying, come as you are. This is your moment. This is your time. Every head bowed, please, every head bowed. Every eye shut, nobody's looking around. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today's your day. Today's the day that He takes that burden and He lifts it. If that's you today, raise your hand. see you back there. This is your moment. This is your time. I'm going to say a prayer right now, and I just want you guys to, God's listening to your heart. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything that there is to know about you. He's listening. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. Say this prayer in your heart. He's listening. It says, Jesus, I've tried, and I'm tired of doing life on my own. I'm tired of waiting for tomorrow to get right with you. Today, I surrender my life to you. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. I turn from my way of living and my impatience. And I need your patience in my life. I'm ready to start a new life with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome home. Welcome to the family. Praise God. God has got a plan for you. I need you to know a couple promises. Your waiting is over. Your new life has just begun. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's a promise that only God can give you. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For the rest of us in this room that already know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I sense that God is calling us to a deeper level of surrender today. You've been holding on to something that God is asking you to release. You've been trying to control something that God is asking you to trust him with. Maybe it's a relationship that you keep trying to fix, you fixers. Trying to fix instead of letting God heal. Let God fix. Maybe it's a financial situation that you keep worrying about, instead of trusting God for the provisions of those things. Maybe it's that dream you're trying to force. Maybe it's the dream that you're trying to force instead of letting God do it in his timing. God is saying to someone today, let me have it. Surrender it to me. Stop trying to microwave everything. We want instant. Stop trying to microwave everything, because God is a slow cooker. Crock pot cooker. Stop trying to rush what God is trying to perfect. It takes time. Keep your heads bowed. Nobody's looking. Right now, I want you to lift your hands, both hands up. Sign of surrender. Come on, church. This is your white flag moment right here. Say it with me. Repeat it after me. God, I surrender. I surrender my timeline to your timing. I surrender my plans to your purpose. I surrender my anxiety to your peace. I surrender my control to your sovereignty. I trust you. I believe in you. I'm going to rest in you. Have your way in my life. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Church, your breakthrough is coming in God's timing. Sometimes something has to die to grow. You heard that saying? The seed needs to die in the dirt before it can grow roots and grow. It's your surrender. It's your trust. It's your willingness to let God be God. If you're new with us this morning, take that card, fill that card out. baptism class is coming up. If you want more information on that, check that box on there. I'll reach out to you. We'll get you on the list. We've got 7 people signed up. I'm hoping for another 10 more. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Look at that. Done early today. I love you guys. Be safe out there. Have lots of water. You already know this, but I don't know this because it's my first summer. But I just feel like I have to tell you to have lots of water. Love you guys. You guys are dismissed. Thanks.